tonight. Amen. We could go ahead and look at James chapter 1, verse 17. Amen. We're talking about on Wednesday nights. I thought it was going to be, I knew we couldn't do it in one message, so I thought, well, we're going to have to do this in two. Then I realized I can't do it in two. And we'll slow down a little bit tonight. So we're talking about faith, medicine, and doctors. And then I've got in parentheses in my notes, faith, medicine, and doctors, and a little common sense. How about that? Faith, medicine, and doctors, and a little common sense. And we're going to look here at James chapter 1. But before we do, you know what John 10:10 says. Familiar scripture, but just because we're familiar with it doesn't mean it's not powerful. The thief, that's talking about the devil, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. If something comes to steal and kill and destroy, who does that come from? Amen. Well, do doctors and medicine steal, kill, and destroy? No, it blesses people and helps people. James chapter 1, verse number 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift, even natural good gifts, you know, the air we breathe and the sunshine and the rain and all of that we need to sustain life in the natural, every good gift in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, comes from above. And we are thankful for all of His many precious gifts. Amen. Now I know, at least in my mind, last Wednesday night, if you was with us, was a little helter-skelter. But I said to you, you need to listen to everything we say about it. This is one of those messages. And see, it's one message. It's going to be just going to be divided up into three sessions, but one message. And you can't just listen to any 10-minute segment of it, you know, because this has too many sides to it. You know, you don't know what something looks like until you look at all the different sides. But I believe if you listen to everything we said last week, with everything that we're going to say, that it'll be a blessing to you and help you in this area. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, like we said, if doctors and medicine help people, and certainly people are helped. Have you ever been helped by a doctor? You ever been helped by medicine? Well, if doctors and medicine help people, and certainly it does, and keep them from suffering, and cures them through medical science, amen, then that's a good thing. It's not an evil thing. It's a good thing. Amen. It helps us. It doesn't steal, it doesn't kill, it doesn't destroy us. Whatever steals, kills, and destroys from the devil. But if something helps us and blesses us, it's a good thing. And James says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. You know, Brother Hagin said this. Here's the context of this. He was talking to his son, Pastor Hagin, about his grandson, Craig, who woke up screaming in the middle of the night because he ended up having a tumor in the back of his neck. And he had medical help, but then there were certain parts of it they couldn't fix, but that was supernaturally taken away. But Brother Hagin, you know, said to his son, Pastor Hagin, he said, the devil is not going around, is not giving doctors and doctors medical knowledge to find cures. That's not the devil. Amen. Medicines is God's way of trying to help people. So God does use medicine and doctors at times, or you know, all the time. Really, God uses doctors and medicine to help people. He uses them to help people who know very little about faith. You know, understand there's some people that they have basically zero knowledge about divine healing. There are some people that have very little knowledge about faith, or who are not living in God's perfect will. I don't mean they're out doing some kind of terrible sin. They're just not living in the perfect will of God, or who haven't had time to develop their faith. See, that takes time to do, or who are weak in faith for whatever reason. And the Lord told Brother Hagin, you know, that it's His perfect will. We know this, but this was in vision form. I mean, He's seeing him. And He said, it's my will for people to enjoy divine health and healing. We know that's true because of the Word of God. But the point I want to make is this. He said, when you're ministering to people who are under the care of a doctor, ask me to speed up their healing process. And He said, I will do that for them. I can do that for them, and I will do that for them. Amen. Well, God wants people well. He wants people healed. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't know about healing and develop your faith. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You should do everything in your power to learn about divine healing and about faith. P.C. Nelson said this. Brother Hagin wrote it down and carried it in his Bible for some 70 years, close to it. He said, read all the good books on faith and healing that you could find. He said, those that particularly appeal to you, you know, keep and reread. You know, some things you read and it doesn't particularly appeal to you, but others just really, really help you to see and understand some things. He said, constantly feed your faith on the subject of faith and healing. He said, for there will come a time, probably come a time in your life that your knowledge of faith and healing, with that knowledge, you'll be able to save your own life or the life of somebody close to you. Amen. So certainly we should develop our faith in these areas. Amen. Glory to God. Because, you know, sometimes medical science, we appreciate them, we love them, but sometimes they can't help people. But with God, there's no such thing as an incurable disease. A headache or cancer is no different to God. Amen. Sometimes medical science can only do so much, and it costs you a lot of money. In other words, they keep you alive, but you're kind of, you know, limited. Amen. It costs you a lot of money. But with God, all things are possible. And it doesn't cost you anything. Medical science has limitations. It may only relieve symptoms. It may extend your life a little while. It may keep you alive, but greatly reduce your quality of life. But divine healing makes you whole with no limitations and no side effects. So yes, develop all your faith in all areas of life. Glory to God. Now we said in this study that we wanted to read after several men and women of faith, strong faith, noted for their faith, and see their thoughts on this subject. So that, and as we do this, many teachable moments will present themselves as we go along. So last week I mentioned Brother Hagin praying for his niece who is living for her. So let's look at that story in a little more detail. You could go in greater detail than this, but it's actually found in his book, Health Food. And he said in 1950, he said, we were having a meeting in Rockwell, Texas. On a Thursday night, my wife and I went, but the children and my niece, who was living with us at the time. So you get the picture, his niece Ruth was living with them for whatever reason. When the service was over, we were all around the altar praying. I heard an automobile outside. It was in the street in front of the tent. I heard all four wheels spinning to a stop. I looked up and saw a young person, a friend of my niece's, coming into the tent. He ran up to where I was kneeling at the altar and said, Ruth has had an attack of appendicitis. She fell off the pew at church. They prayed for her and then took her home. Some of the Christians at the house prayed for her again, but she's getting worse instead of better. She's calling for you and your wife to come immediately. Well, we immediately got up and went to her. When we got there, we found her in the bedroom. He said she was in the bed or in the room with her knees drawn up to her chest. She was writhing in pain, clenching her fist. My wife and I knelt by the bed and said, now, Ruth, do you want to go to the hospital? You see, a person can't get healed just because you believe in divine healing. I don't know why people continually trip over that, but they do. Now, you understand you always have to make a distinction between getting healed by faith in God's Word versus some kind of special manifestation of the Spirit. You know, it's the difference of the troubling of the waters. You know, God is sovereign, gifts of the Spirit. When that happens, that's a totally different thing. Those are usually more of an instantaneous nature, and that's the Spirit of God coming on you and enabling you and gifting you to pray for somebody on the spot. But that's as the Spirit wills, and you usually, sometimes you get results for that, and the person you're praying for don't even believe. But you can't make that happen. When it comes to faith, we have to teach people the Word, present the Word to them, get them to see the truth for themselves and develop their faith. And I can pray for them and you can pray for them. And as long as they will agree with you, you can get results. So see, he understands that. But he said, you can't get a person healed just because you believe in divine healing. You cannot force your desires onto someone else. People have a will of their own. I said, Ruth, if you want to, I'll take you to the emergency room. No, she said, I want to be healed. I want to believe God. Because, you know, she's in that atmosphere. Well, my wife spoke to my niece Ruth, and said, now, Ruth, you know you're not our child. You don't belong to us. We can't make decisions for you. Also, you're 18 years old. You're an adult now. You can make your own decisions. Don't say, I want to trust God. Now, they want her to trust God, but don't say you want to do that just because Uncle Ken teaches divine healing. Don't say that because you think that's what we want you to do. What do you want to do from your heart? Brother Hagin says you have to get action, and that would include confession. See, confession is an action. You have to get action or confession from people's hearts. See, we've had 50 years and longer of good, good, good teaching all around the body of Christ where we're told if you're really in faith, you will act like it's true. We've had good, wonderful teaching, 60 years, almost 70 years on confession that was never taught since the Apostle Paul. And so people say the right thing because they've been told to say the right thing, and they act like they believe, whether they really believe or not, because they've been told that if you really believe, you'll act. But you can't just say something parroting somebody else or copying somebody else when you don't really believe it in your heart. You can do that, but it won't work. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to make a bad confession under any circumstances, but you understand, you could just act like something, you believe something, but not really believe it. So he said, you have to get action. See, this is one of those teachable moments from people's hearts, not just their heads. And it may take time to do this. People can mentally go along with you and agree with you in the natural and say things, but their heart is not in it, and it won't work. Everybody saying it won't work. So my wife asked Ruth again, what do you want to do? Ruth said, I want to trust God. And I said, Brother Hagin, all right, let's get busy and get your healing, or else go to the hospital. Let's get busy and get, see, this is, if you're having an attack of appendicitis, you know, you can die if your appendix burst. Now, if she just felt kind of bad and even went to the doctor, and the doctor told her she had some disease, but it's not going to kill you. I mean, it's going to take 4 years to kill you. Then you could say, well, okay, let's read scriptures, let's pray, let's believe, let's get faith in you. But if you're in an emergency situation, you better know that you know that you know that you know that you know, or you better go get help. And when you go get help, do it in faith. Do it in, don't just do it in the natural, do it in faith. Are you following me? He said, all right, let's get busy, believe in God. Or else go to the hospital. I knew, you see, that her appendix could burst at any time. I knew we had to work fast. My wife and I laid hands on Ruth. I could feel the power of God pouring out of me. My wife sensed it too. We could both sense the power of God, the life of God pouring out of us into her. I said, Ruth, there it is. There's your healing. There's your healing. You know, Jesus said, you know, with the woman with the issue of blood that touched him, he said, what did he do? He recognized that virtue, modern day language, that's power. What kind of power? Healing power. He didn't know who touched him, but he recognized that healing power left his body. When you're praying hands on the sick, sometimes you're very conscious of that, very aware of that. And that's why he said, who touched me? And so he said, I knew the power of God went into her. But listen. You see, I could administer the power of God to her, but I couldn't accept it for her. Spiritual things are just as real as material things. Many people think that if you have something, you can just give it to another person. But no, the other person must accept it. If they don't, they won't have it. The same thing is true in the natural. The same thing is true in the spirit. And you know when people take hold and when they don't take hold of it. My wife said, that's it, Ruth. Ruth said, all right, I accept it, I receive it. Instantly, Ruth's body relaxed and straightened out. That's when I saw that her hands were bleeding because her nails had dug into them as she had clenched her fist in such pain. She was instantly healed, and she never had another attack of appendicitis. Every believer has the life of God abiding in him or her. It doesn't just belong to the preacher. Amen. Glory to God. And whether you have a tangible manifestation or not, he's making the point, when you believe you receive, healing always comes. Well, there's a lot to everything he just said there. Amen. Praise God. But my overall point to you is this. If you need, or if someone else you're praying for needs help in an emergency situation to be kept alive, you know, they're lying there bleeding. Their blood pressure has dropped. Or you find out you have a deadly disease that will quickly kill you. My dentist here in town, you know, is really a lovely man. They still honor him greatly at the dentist office I go to. You know, Dr. Jones, he was a fisherman. You know, I'd get in there and start talking fishing to him. He'd just put all these tools down and talk fishing to me, you know. He just, without much to do, in other words, he didn't just ignore something going on in his body. He just, something came up. He went to the doctor, found out what it was, and was dead in less than 3 weeks. Well, you know, somebody says, well, I'm just going to believe God. You can, absolutely, if you really believe. But if you're not there yet for whatever reason, then dear God, don't die. Get medical help. You understand that? That's the point. Amen. So if somebody is bleeding, somebody been in an accident, somebody's blood pressure's all of a sudden dropped, or you found out you have a deadly disease that will kill you quickly, You know, Brother Hagin, of course, his testimony of being raised up off the deathbed is a glorious, glorious testimony. Incurable blood disease, deformed heart. You know, Brother Hagin did just have a deformed heart. Everything in here was deformed. Everything. And paralysis. But, you know, this took, you know, he lay on that deathbed for 17 months and he learned many things on his own and was raised off that deathbed. He said, if this would have been a fast-moving disease, it would have killed me before I had time to learn the things that I learned. And in his case, why is it important that you develop your faith? Because in his case, five doctors, including one from the great Mayo Clinic, especially back in the 1920s, 30s, you know, was really well known, said, nobody can help you. Nobody has ever lived with your situation and your condition. So that's why you need to develop your faith. He had time to develop him. That's what I'm telling you. But he said, had I not had time. Now, you can have time and not take advantage of it. But he said, had I not had time, I would have died. So you getting this? So if you need help or if you need medical science to ease your pain, we talked about that a little bit last week, or if you're not present tense today in a position to receive for whatever reason, then get medical help and receive it by faith. Take it by faith. Glory to God. I mean, you know, if you need medical help, don't just go to them. See, some people think it's an either or. No, I got to trust God or either I just go to the doctor. If you need to go to the doctor, go, but don't just leave it in their hands. Thank God for them. But there's only so much they can do for you. But if you go to them in faith, then you can get tremendous results. Now, here, come up here, Margaret. I want to tell a story. How many of you believe that Kenneth Copeland is a strong man of faith? Well, do you know he had a pacemaker put in about 2 years ago? Listen to this testimony.
We were listening to Brother Copeland, and he was talking about that he had recently had a pacemaker put in. You know, that gets your attention. You're listening.
It's 84,
you know. And he said, you know, he went to the doctor. He found out what they were saying and everything, and he was praying about it. And, you know, he's in the mindset, what he's saying, he's like, he was talking to the Lord, and he's saying, you know, Lord, I'm just going to stand, you know, and receive my healing. I'm just going to stand and believe you for it, believe that I'm healed, and I'm going to make my stand. And he said, and in praying about it, but he said, but the Lord spoke to him. You know, you have to seek the Lord along with, you know, your scriptures and what you're believing for. Listen to what the Lord is telling you. Find out where your confidence level is and find out where you can release your faith. But the Lord said to him, he said, you're too far past the power curve now. And he said, receive the pacemaker by faith. Go receive the pacemaker by faith. But I thought that was such an interesting statement. You're too far past the power curve now. In other words, you don't have the time to stand and develop your faith to the point that, you know, you don't need to have this done. Go and receive this by faith. And he did. And then, are you going to tell the rest?
Yeah, I can tell you.
You know, but he continued to believe God. He went in faith. He received it. It went well. And then it was interesting what happened, what followed with that.
Yeah, so, you know, here he is and has raised the dead. But, you know, in this particular situation, you know, he said he actually went to a prison. He said, I just couldn't even hardly breathe. He said, but, you know, I'm going. I'm going in faith, bless God. And I'm acting on the Word of God. And I believe God. But he's so bad that he, you know, couldn't even hardly catch his breath that he went to the doctor and he finds that out. And the Lord says, you're too far past the curve this time. So take it. So brother, you know, brother, he said, I took it by faith. Well, he's a pilot. 84 years old, got an award when I was there a few years ago from 50 years of being a pilot, safe pilot. Only a few people have ever gotten the award. He got it. Tony was there. Well, he wants to keep his pilot's license. Well, to keep his pilot's license, so they know he has a pacemaker. He has to take a strenuous heart test. You know, what do you call it? Stress test and, huh?
Stress test
and all that. Because he said, see, he's got a pacemaker, but he's also got a defibrillator. It's two different things, really. You know, he's got a defibrillator. And he said a couple of times, that thing shocked me, you know. And he said, but he believed God. He worked on his treadmill. And he went in there and he said, I took that test and passed it with flying colors. And the medical people that are there that were with the defibrillator, and they said, you don't need that anymore. And with their computer, they turned that off. Why? Because he didn't need it anymore. Hallelujah. Well, that's better than just, you know, being ignorant and dying, isn't it? Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Now, don't think we're not saying in any way, as we mentioned a while ago, not to develop your faith. Quite the contrary. Again, medical science and doctors are limited. That's why when you do go, if you do go, it's not an either-or situation. If you need to go, go. But if you go, do it in faith. If you need to take medicine, take it, but take it in faith. But God is never limited. People die under medical care. How many of you know that? They live, but they live disabled and restricted and disadvantaged under medical care. So develop your faith. And if you need medical help, then go get it, but go in faith. Don't think, no, I don't have any, no, no, go in faith, go in faith. I'll tell you a story about that. I think maybe it'll help you realize that. See, getting healed by faith alone, or using your faith as you receive medical attention, if needed, helps us and is advantageous in every way, in every way. Now, going back, I don't really know when this happened. Margaret, maybe you remember, somewhere around 30 years ago, I began to have symptoms in my body, and I didn't know what was going on. Now, as I look back on it, I had classic symptoms that are real easy to understand, but I didn't realize it at that time. I lost like 25 pounds. Of course, that's, you know, with doctors, that's always like, come see us quick, you know. I mean, unless you're, I mean, I wasn't trying to lose 25 pounds. I just lost about 25 pounds. If I just needed energy, like if I was in the pulpit or something, and just my hand would just shake like that. Not all the time, but just sometimes. If I'm at home lying on the couch, just lying there, you know, I could check my pulse and it was beating 140 beats a minute while I'm lying there resting. And so I don't know what's going on. And of course, my first reaction is not to go to the doctor. You know, I'm trusting God. I believe God. I've never failed to receive my healing. Blessed be God. You know? And so I finally go to a walk-in clinic. In those days, walk-in clinics have a little bit better reputation, a little more respect than they do today. A lot of people, that's almost their regular doctor. But back then, they were just kind of, if you didn't have a doctor, and just almost like an emergency room where they just do certain things for you. And because I'm also complaining about my stomach, and I don't know, I just don't feel good in my stomach. And he said, he diagnosed me as pre-ulcer. Well, that was totally wrong. The symptoms I'm describing to you are perfect symptoms of thyroid problems. Okay, and so Bob Oliver, Bob and Lois Oliver, you remember Bob and Lois, and Bob had I think it was his uncle, his cousin in California. Bob would go to the Rose Bowl every year. Matter of fact, Bob Oliver had a major heart attack going to the Rose Bowl with his doctor cousin right beside him. And if he had not been with him, this was a good doctor. He was a tremendous, knew how to diagnose things. And if Bob hadn't have been standing right beside him, I'm convinced he would have died. And Bob went on to live another 25 years. Hallelujah. But Bob, you know, because he's my good friend, goes to church here, you know, and all that. He called his cousin, the doctor, and he said, tell him to get away from that stupid clinic and go to a regular doctor. And he said, I don't know. It sounds like he's thyroid to me. He said, but I'd have to examine him. So I eventually go to see Dr. Swan here locally. They do blood work on me, and they diagnose me with hyperthyroidism. That means you know, you always hear about people gaining weight. Well, see, I'm doing the opposite. Hyperthyroidism is your thyroid is producing way too much hormones. And these are hormones that are critical to your whole system. Hyperthyroidism is, like I said, rapid heartbeat. You can look up the symptoms, weight loss, nervousness, shakiness, and also it messes with your brain. Irritability. I mean, these are the symptoms of it. Irritability, anxiety, mood swings. That's one of the reasons we have to walk in love with people. We never know what's really going on. I was dealing with this in the most difficult time of my ministry that I had ever had in dealing with people. And yet I got this going on. I mean, I'm not using an excuse to walk in the flesh, but I'm just saying I got this going on. And hypothyroidism is also known as Graves' disease. So I'm going, dear God, I mean, this ain't a cold, you know, this is a disease. I've been diagnosed with a disease. You understand what I'm talking about? I've been diagnosed with a disease. I mean, we've gotten healing for our kids their whole life. I never failed to receive. And so they're dealing with me, you know, and because I got heartburn and it affects your bones, affects your critical systems, affects your brain, affects your blood, affects your heart. You know, the doctor, of course, he just comes strictly from a medical viewpoint. He's like, well, you know, not everybody's heart beats as fast as yours. You can go into what they call thyroid. I think they call it thyroid. Is it shock or is it called something else? Anyway, it means just all of a sudden you die because of it, because your heart just gets to beating so fast and so forth. So he gives me some iodine and some salt, because that all goes. See, your thyroid is right here. Right, your collarbone. You know what a goiter is? That's a growth on your thyroid. And a lot of healing testimonies from the past, they take care of these things better today, but you'd hear a lot about people, you'd go to those meetings and you'd see big growths on people's neck. That's a growth on your thyroid. So they're treating me that's not the cure for hyperthyroidism. It can click back into working right, and if it doesn't, you have to get something done. I didn't know those things then, but you basically have to have surgery. That's where they take it out or take out, you know, or you can take what's called radioactive iodine. Radioactive iodine is given by a radiologist, like a cancer radiologist. You take that and it goes to your thyroid, and it in essence shrinks your thyroid. Well, but before we get to that point, because this doctor knows how I feel and everything, he's got me on some temporary medicine, and you know, I'm taking that temporary medicine, and all of a sudden one night, you maybe feel a little better, you know, but all of a sudden one night, I mean, I am feeling so bad. I've got a fever so high that I'm out of my mind. I got up in the middle of the night. Of course, when you're out of your mind like that, the only thing you can think of is, let me take, see, I'm having an allergic reaction to those pills I'm taking, but I don't know that. Doesn't have anything with the disease. It has to do with the pills they gave me, but I don't know. So I go and take more of the pills. Now, when I opened up, you know, a little bottle, when I opened up that bottle of pills, my hand is shaking so violently, it shook out every pill onto the floor. I woke up in another room, that's the bathroom. I woke up in the kitchen with Margaret praying for me where I had passed out, and I don't remember what happened, but she said, I looked at her and said, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And so I made it through that night, and the next morning, some guys from the church came and poured me into the car. And took me to the doctor's office. Now, I felt much better the next morning. Everybody say much better. I mean, I felt much better. But they took me to the doctor, and he came out and said, I'm putting you in the hospital. And I was like, you know, because, you know, I'm just not used to. I mean, bless God, I'm a faith preacher, a healing preacher. I'm not used to. I don't want to go to the hospital. I said, I don't want to go to the hospital. He said, I don't care what you want. He said, you've got a temperature of 104. Now, I felt good compared to the way I did in the middle of the night. Now, actually, when they got me to the hospital and they gave me a couple of Tylenol, and they did not give me any more. I didn't know it at that time, but he suspects all along that I'm having an allergic reaction just to the medicine. I still got the thyroid problem. This has nothing to do with that. But as soon as I don't take any more of that medicine, he gives me a couple of Tylenol, I'm okay in an hour and a half, sitting up in bed, not liking it one bit that I'm in there. And you know, the doctor don't tell you everything. He's not telling me what they're doing. So I sit there, and I think I spent all that day and that night, maybe the next night, I'm not sure. But while I'm in there, I do what I need to do. I did what I know to do. I go to the Word of God, and I just start reading every healing scripture there is in the Bible. Praise God. And I'm looking at the healing scriptures, and I'm reading the healing scriptures. Glory to God. Well, what happens? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you get fully persuaded, and you get fully convinced, and you get, you know, because this, you know. And so I'm reading the scriptures, I'm meditating in the scriptures, reading the scriptures, glory to God. The more you put the Word of God before you, the bigger God gets and the stronger you get in faith. You don't make it happen, it just automatically happens. And so he released me, and I think that's when he told me, I suspected that you were having an allergic reaction, but he said, but we can't prove that. You know, you don't have a rash, you don't have a... I said, well, should I go back to taking these pills? And he said, yeah, go ahead and take those. So I go home, and I take a couple of those pills, and within an hour, I'm in worse shape than I was than when they put me in the hospital. And you know, I don't know. You know, look, I've had cancer, okay, healed of cancer. But having a fever makes you feel worse than having some deadly disease. You know what I mean? When you got a fever, it just makes the hair on the back of your legs hurt. You know, you just hurt all over. And so I went over to get in bed, and I got in the bed not to crawl up in the fetal position, but I've just spent hour after hour after hour in the Word of God, reading the Word of God. See, this is one of those teachable moments, is getting to where we're getting to go. Studying the Word, and I jumped out of bed, blessed. Now, I was hospitalized by a doctor because of my symptoms, and this has all come back on me. I jumped out of bed and I said, "No, you don't, devil, in the name of Jesus. I call myself well." Call those things that be not as though they were. "I call myself well. I'm healed and whole by the stripes of Jesus." And I did that about 30 seconds, and like you'd snapped your finger, every symptom disappeared. I call that doctor's office because, you know, this is kind of fun when it's like that. I mean, I didn't just get better over a matter of hours or over a matter of days. I mean, just like you snapped your finger, I call that doctor's office, and I didn't get him, but I got one of the nurse, and I just exploded on her and told her what I just told you. And I said, "Bless God, it was those pills, but I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I believed God," and all those symptoms disappeared. And there's kind of a long pause. And it was like, "Don't take those pills anymore." Click. Well, I still have Graves' disease, though. Hyperthyroidism. They're telling me all the things they want to do. They're sending me to a nose ear eye specialist because they're telling me they're going to cut it. He goes, no, you don't need that. He sends me to another doctor. And they're telling me if you take this radioactive iodine, you're going to be quarantined for it. This is radioactive. You know, you're going to be quarantined. You're going to glow in the dark. And everybody's going to have to stay over there. And the guy's going, no. But up to the, see, because like I said, they're just not telling you anything. And I didn't ask the right questions, I guess. So the day comes that I'm in there. Now, I don't know the process. Here's what they do. They're giving you this pill. This pill goes to your thyroid. Your thyroid's funny. You don't get instant results with it. You don't diagnose it and start taking a pill for it. It takes it weeks to kind of get in your system and work like it should, and they have to adjust it and figure it out. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? To get the right dosage and all that. So the process of, they take this thing, they are killing part of your thyroid. They're guessing as to how much to kill. Then they're sending you back to your doctor to figure out now it's not hyperthyroidism. It's the opposite. It's hypo. In other words, it's not producing enough. And they figure out, and then they can treat that, but you have to take a pill every day. But I don't know all that. So I'm in there, and we're walking back to the back room, and they're shutting us in this leaded door room, and only me and the doctor and the nurse back there, and they're filling out forms, and they're looking around, and they open up this big package, and I'm still not sure I'm going to take this pill, because bless God, I'm the healed of the Lord. So I questioned him real quick, and he goes, "You take the pill, you'll be fine." I said, and so I just had an impression, take the pill. So I took it, and I wasn't immediately better. When I saw him 2 weeks later, he goes, "It takes this pill," and he explains that, you know. And so I get better, and then I go through the process, which I didn't realize I was going to go to, of going back to my regular doctor, and he starts checking it. And then I realize, okay, I had hyperthyroidism. I do not have that anymore. I have hypothyroidism. It's not producing enough thyroid juice. Hormones. And the reason I have this problem is because medically we kill part of my thyroid. Now they wouldn't say it that way, but you know, because you can't live the other way, you'll die. And that's just the way they treat it. And as far as they're concerned, you know, once you take this pill every day and you're fine. And so I go to the doctor and he says, and of course he knows how I believe. And I said, "Well, bless God, I'm still believing God." He goes, "Well, you understand, son, you know, it'd be like raising the dead. Your thyroid is not producing enough and it is never going to produce enough. It's going to take us a while to adjust it because we don't know where it's going to eventually land out. But you are never going to, it is never going to be okay. It can't produce. It's not there to produce what it needs to produce." So they gave me a dosage. You know, I'm taking like, I don't remember what it is, like 3.0 milligrams of it. I go back to them. They said, "Okay, because you don't go back to 4 months later." They say, "Okay, it's adjusted out. Now you take 2.75. But now here's the thing, and here's what people don't get. I don't understand why people don't get this. I took that pill every day. See, this is 3 months, and it's going to be 3 months before I go again, and 4 months before I go again, and 4 months before I go again. Every day I took that pill, and I said, "Thank God my thyroid is healed. Glory to God." You mean you took medicine, and you were thanking God you were? Yes. I took it in faith, like Brother Kyle, I received it, I took it by faith. I said, thank God I'm healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God my thyroid is healed. And I took it, and I went back in the 275, and then they dropped. I used to have those pills. I preached a message on it one time, and I knocked them off the platform every time the podium, because they kept reducing it, see. At first, they just said, well, it's adjusting, but then it got to be like, it already should have been adjusted by now. And so they reduced it to 250, and they reduced it to 225, and they reduced it to 200. Now, this is a year and a half later. It takes that long. And they know this should be stable now. And they bottom line, they reduced it all the way to zero where I don't need to take it anymore. And I came in, and they came in and gave me my results and almost upset with me, like, you don't need it. Get out of here. Don't come back no more. Wow, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I took that. In that particular situation, that was almost a two-year period, saying, thank God I'm healed. Now, honesty and transparency compels me to tell you this. I went about 8 or 9 years without taking any of those pills. Then one day, sitting in church, sitting in this building, you know, because we've had different buildings over the years, I was sitting right there and I almost passed out. Well, Cliff Adcox was here, and he was insistent that I go see what's going on. And, of course, I began to have that feeling in my stomach. I asked the doctor one time, because those aren't classic thyroid symptoms. He goes, I don't know, maybe you're worried about it or something. And I thought, he might be right. So I go back to the doctor, and they test it, and they gave me a very small dosage for my thyroid. And because, like I said, it messes with your mood, symptoms, anxiety, irritability, you know, anger. I said, I have enough problems with the flesh as it is, and for whatever reason, I just said the heck with it and took the pill that time, and I take it to this day. But I went almost 10 years without needing it. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. I said, are you listening to me? Amen. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Now, let me see that book right here, Margaret. Let me read from somebody else in the light of everything we've said. And you got to go back and listen to last Sunday's or last Wednesday's too. Here's from Beth Jones, her and her husband, pastor of church, I think in Michigan. They happen to be Raymond graduates. Wonderful church, wonderful pastors. And she's the kind of person that when somebody asks her a question for the nth time, she goes, dear God, we only taught on this a million times, but she said, we got to make this clearer. So she began to print books. Getting a grip on the basics, getting a grip on the basics of finances, getting a grip on the basics of the Holy Spirit, getting a grip on the basics of healing, getting a grip on the basics of, and they became very famous. So in this book on getting a grip on the basics of health or healing and health, she wrote, we believe in the value of doctors, hospitals, and medicine. Believing in God's divine health and healing for our bodies does not mean we are to quit believing in doctors and hospitals or to throw our medicine away. You know, let me ask you something. If you could throw your medicine away and be healed, then all you'd have to do is throw your medicine away. Amen? I mean, if you could throw your glasses away and be healed, then all you'd have to do is throw them on the ground and stomp them. But how many of you know that doesn't work? Now, and when I mention glasses, you have to understand there was a day and time when no healing evangelist would wear glasses. Now, they all had reading glasses. And you'd see them on the front row, and they'd pick out their reading glasses, and they'd put them on. Because you understand, reading glasses, your eyes are not sick. They are not diseased. It's like if your hair turns gray or turns loose, you're not sick. You're not diseased. If you can't jump as high at age 65 as you could when you were 25, you're not sick. You're just getting older. And so I had, my dad makes glasses his whole life, owned his own shop, you know, made the glasses. And so at age 42, I started wearing reading glasses. Reading glasses are not regular glasses, reading glasses. That's like I said, that has to do with your aging. Somebody says, well, what about Moses? Thank God for Moses. You know, it says his eyesight hadn't abated when he was 120 years old. Have faith to yourself, be it unto you according to your own faith. And so I got buddies that they refused to wear them, but every time we go to the restaurant, they're like, can I borrow your glasses? Because they can't see it even to read the menu. So reading glasses have nothing to do with being sick or diseased. And so, and with me, because my dad made glasses, even as a young policeman, back when I'm 21 years old, I wore glasses, and it was uncommon in those days. I mean, they had them, but not a lot of people had them. In 75, I wore glasses that would change, you know, sunglasses. But then when you walked indoors, what do they call them today? Transitional glasses. But they were not so common back then. And so I wore those glasses all the time. Everybody thought I wore glasses, but I didn't. They were just sunglasses, but I never took them off. I know a couple of years ago, I forgot which grandson it was, but I took my glasses off and they looked at me, you know, at my house, because I don't always have them on. And they said, Poppy, put your glasses back on. But they're reading glasses, so I can, because I didn't want to get up there and preach like this, and or be doing this, you know, 50 times, you know, so I just wore them all the time. They're reading glasses. Amen. Anyway. It's God's will for our bodies to be healthy and whole. Can you say amen? Amen. This is also the goal of the medical profession. God and the medical community are not working against one another, but toward the same goal, the health and healing of humanity. Would to God some doctors knew that, and would to God some preachers knew that. After all, the writer of the Gospel of Luke himself, was a physician. When it comes to doctors, hospitals, and medicine, you must be led by the Spirit of God. You can certainly pray and ask God to help the physicians and medical personnel who will be advising and treating you. Trust God to give them wisdom and understanding they need to help you. If you are not strong in faith, for whatever reason, I added that, if you're dealing with negative thoughts, bad reports, painful symptoms, doctors and medicine can provide great help. Through medicine and therapy, medical science can sometimes help to quiet your pains and symptoms. When your thoughts and symptoms are not screaming so loudly, it's easier for you to focus your heart on the Word of God, which will strengthen your spirit and build your faith to believe God's Word above what your body is saying. It is worth mentioning here that sometimes when a person believes God for healing, he wants to throw away his medicine. Do I know people that have thrown away their medicine because they knew that 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 they were healed and were totally fine and totally healed? Do I know examples of that? Yes, many. But I also know examples of people that threw away their medicine and died. What's the difference? One was really in faith and one wasn't. So publicly, what I do myself is different than what I'm going to tell you to do. Publicly, I tell people, let the doctor confirm that you're healed. Y'all just had a situation just in the last couple of years where Renita, you were taking the medicine and you knew it in your spirits, but you knew that you didn't need the medicine anymore, so the medicine was actually hurting your body. And so the doctor said, don't take that medicine anymore. And so we tell people, let the doctors confirm that you don't need it anymore. Amen. I think of another lady that did wear glasses. Now, she wore regular glasses because her eyes are not right when she's in her 20s. And you know, her mother told a healing evangelist, said, would you talk to my mom? He said, what for? He said, she won't wear her glasses because she said she received her healing, bless God. And so she's acting on the Word and she won't wear her glasses. She said, but she's about to kill us all driving down the road. And so he told her, put your glasses back on, but every time you think about it, every time you put them on in the morning, every time you take it off at night, say, thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. Thank God my eyes are healed. Now, some people will never do that, but she did. She said, thank God I'm healed. Thank God. And she got to the point where to put them on made it where she couldn't see, and then the doctors verified that she was healed. You see the difference? You see the difference? Glory to God. We got to hurry. We're almost through. It's worth mentioning here that sometimes when a person believes God for healing, he wants to throw away his medicine, eyeglasses, or other medical apparatus in an attempt to prove that he has faith. Here is a word of caution. Sometimes throwing away such items is nothing more than a sincere yet superficial attempt to cover up a lack of faith. In other words, we can subtly and unknowingly substitute true faith in God and His Word with faith in the act of throwing something away. God can heal you while you're taking medicine, wearing glasses, or using some medical apparatus. Once you've received your healing, those items will be cumbersome and unnecessary. Then you will be able to discard them. Don't substitute the heroic act of throwing away medicine for having true faith. You can exercise your faith the entire time you're receiving medical treatment from a doctor or through medicine. Although we thank God for the medical profession, our faith is not in doctors, hospitals, or medicine. Our faith is ultimately in God as our healer. Once you you have received God's healing power, you will be well and will no longer need medical treatment. It's always best to allow your doctor to confirm a bona fide medical healing. God is big enough to heal you in such a way that medical science can confirm it. Though they may not be able to explain it, but they can confirm your health and well-being. And we've seen that many times. Some doctors will. Some doctors say that had to be God. Others won't say, well, I don't know what happened, but I can confirm you're healed now. Stand up with me. One last quick word because this may be helpful to you. Right in this same section, she says, what about Christians who are sick or who have died? When it comes to this question, we want to be very sensitive. First of all, we do not know the heart of every man or woman. Only God does. We do not know the walk of faith and the private conversations I've ever had with the Lord. We do not know how God was or had been dealing with someone. In light of all these things, we do not know about others. It is difficult to say why someone is sick or why some died prematurely. Sometimes, I've seen this, when people are sick, they get tired and weary in their fight of faith. They have faith. I knew they had faith, and they just prefer to go ahead and leave their bodies and go home to be with the Lord. And if you ever want to raise somebody from the dead, somebody goes, dear God, well, you ought to be thinking about it, anybody. If you ever want to raise somebody dead, don't go to some Christian who's all of a sudden getting glimpses of glory and try to raise them from the dead. They ain't coming back, honey. They're saying, forget it. Go find you a sinner that's seen few glimpses of hell. They'll come back. They get tired and weary in the fight of faith and just prefer to leave their bodies and go be with the Lord. Can you blame them? In addition, unless God tells us why, it's none of our business. We must still walk by faith and believe God's word for our own personal lives. The good news about these believers who died prematurely is our knowledge that to depart and be with Christ is far better. Although they may have died through sickness or disease, they are now shouting the victory in heaven. We may not understand everything, but we can rejoice with those who have gone on to heaven ahead of us. You may have known a believer who knew that healing was available to him from God and had faith for his healing but was not healed. Why were they not healed? We don't know. Why is his healing did not manifest? It's between him and God. We need to concentrate on what we do know. The promises God has given us in his word about healing. In this area, some young or immature Christians may be tempted to judge others or to try to figure out why. At this point, it is important to pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit and do what you can in the natural to support and encourage people who have experienced heartache in these situations. As God, compassion fills your heart. Follow after love and do what you can to be a blessing to them. Again, it's important to remember, while we don't understand everything, we do not base our faith on the experiences of others or on our experiences. We base our faith on God's word alone, regardless of experience, either theirs or ours. Can you say amen? Amen. Say it out loud with me. Thank God for Jesus Christ. I believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's the power of God to save. It's the power of God to heal. I receive the power of God to make me sound, to make me whole, delivered, and healed right now. I receive the power of God. I resist in the name of Jesus all sickness, disease, and pain. I will not tolerate you in my life. Leave my presence. My days of sickness and disease are over. I'm saved. And I'm healed. And I'm whole. And I'm free forever. Sickness shall not lord it over me. Sin shall not lord it over me. Fear will not lord it over me. I've been redeemed. And I proclaim my freedom. In Jesus' name, I call my body well. I call my body healed. I call my organs healed. I call my heart healed. I call my limbs healed. I call my back healed. I call my ears healed. I call my eyes healed. I am healed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. In Jesus' name. Now shout about that a little bit, why don't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Well, I hope that helps you a little bit. We're not through. There are some other things we want to say about this. Amen. Praise God. We almost made it. It's just 8:02. Our Bible study is over. We're going to start prayer in about 12 minutes. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.